Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me this week to look ahead to a fascinating weekend of racing are the great Paul Keighley and one of the finest young talents in the whole of journalism. Over in Ireland, we've got Mark Boylan, plus also a very warm welcome to the Friday Postcast. He's done some Mondays, but this is his Friday debut, to Sam Harley from Paddy Power. So here's what's coming up. It's a classic day of action at the Curragh tomorrow with the Irish Oaks. And believe it or not, we're at the fourth classic and Aidan O'Brien hasn't trained an Irish classic yet, but the market suggests he may well do. Three other really good races there from the Curragh, and then we've got four good races at Newbury, something for the summer jumps fans at Market Raisin. There's a TV race at Newmarket, and then we will look ahead to all of Saturday. So grab a pen and paper, pin back your lug holes. The boys are brimming with winners. First up then, the highlight of the weekend, 5:30 at the Curragh on Saturday, the Darley Irish Oaks, seven runners. And Sam, how do Paddy Power bet?
Yeah, so just before I go into the betting, we're running a money back special. There's a free bet on all losers if Magic Wand wins up to £10, and that's just in singles only.
Jolly good.
So it might be worthwhile taking on the favourite. She sits at 11-8, Magic Wand, and we've Civ Class 15-8, Forever Together 4-1. Bye bye baby, 16-1, and then 20-1 bar.
We'll start with you, Mark Boylan. Are you going to row in with the Fav? I mean, it's an interesting race, because I was looking through the last 10 winners. Aidan's won three of the last 10. All the others have been won by overseas raiders. And obviously, we're set up for another such confrontation here with Aidan with his three, and then Civ Class coming across to challenge. So who's going to win then, Mark?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, Bruce. Should be a cracker, really. And Sia Glass is a brilliant interest to have, and she could really spice things up, because if you take her out of it, the rest of the fillies, it doesn't make it as much of an interesting contest at all. Magic Wand is where I'm going. Unoriginal, but I think she's going the right way. Obviously, she had her measure in the Oaks, but that wasn't her true running, and the ground is the big thing for her. And as well as that, I think Epsom probably caught her out in terms of an occasion. I think she wasn't used to that sort of thing, and since she's gone back to Ascot since and handled that, she was far more professional there. They stick first time cheek pieces on Forever Together, and that could spark her, because she was disappointing last time in the Pretty Polly. And I do think Magic Wand is the one to be with here. Bye bye baby each way at 16s. I'd love if you're getting the three. I know you're not, but maybe her without the favourite, if Sia Class was to disappoint. I could see her running a nice race. Forever Together has questions to answer now. Maybe the step up back up to a mile and a half will suit, but Magic Wand for me, I'd be fairly sweet on her now.
Keels, are you fairly sweet on anything?
I wouldn't say fairly sweet. I'm a bit down on most of the three-year-old form, to be honest, and I don't think there's anything special about either the Oaks or the Ribblesdale. I know Forever Together won the Oaks by four lengths, and Magic Wand has won the Ribblesdale by four lengths from the filly that was second in the Oaks, Wild Illusion. But I don't think any of that form is great. I don't think Wild Illusion truly stays, to be honest. And I think if there is a really, really good filly in the lineup, it'll be Sea of Class. I mean, she needs to prove that she is. But I think everyone associated with William Haggerstraw thinks she is. I mean, she went off 130 on for her last race at Newbury. She had no way was she entitled to be that short on her bare form, but they knew she was very good. She won very easily. The runner-up ran well at group level at Haydock next time. And I think if there's a star filly in there, it'll be her.
Okay, so will you be lumping on?
I won't say I'll be lumping on. It depends how much I lose on Saturday after...
Oh, yeah, of course. It could be the get-out stakes, couldn't it? Sam, how are you viewing this race?
I'd be rowing in with Mark there. I love the way she moved in the Ribblesdale on the good ground. Now, we've had a bit of rain here today, but I don't think it's going to be enough to turn it anywhere below good.
You've had a bit of rain. What's that? We haven't seen rain for a couple of months. Yeah. You've had it very dry.
Lashing rain over
here. It's chucking
the open.
It down, is it? Oh, yeah. The open it is. Yeah, I know
the
that.
Open
yeah.
Here as
well,
well,
I'm absolutely soaking here. I arrived into the office here in Capel Street now, and I've been warmer other times arriving in here. By God, you really want a hug from David Jennings to warm yourself up coming in the door. But no, we're all good here, but there is definitely rain about.
Blimey. Okay, so yes. But you think they'll still ride good, Sam, yeah?
Yeah, it'll be good. I know they've been watering it during the week, but no, I'd say it'll definitely turn up good. So Magic Wand would be the one for me. I can't see anything in Sea of Class. In the final two furlongs in her race at Newbury, she was swishing her tail. That would just be a sign of either not liking the ground or being a bit ingenuine. As I see the star, she'd probably the step up to mile and four suit. but she wouldn't be for me. And yeah, Magic Wand at 11-8, okay. I'd be all in on her.
Righty-ho. Sam, I'm always fascinated by regional Irish accents. I can't place yours.
Yeah, there's actually been some funny YouTube comments about my voice. My dad is actually Kenyan. His mother trained horses out in Kenya, so I just have a Kenyan touch to my accent.
Oh, right. Okay, well, there you go. I was trying to think, is he from Limerick or Donegal? Turns out Kenya. Okay. Right, let's move on to 3:45 then at the Curragh. It's the Tote Scurry Handicap. When I was a kid, the Scurry was a dog race that took place at Slough. Long gone. But it's a competitive affair, Sam, isn't it? How are you betting?
Yeah, so we have Gunmetal 4-1 at the front end, an English Raider for David Barron. Then we have Full Moon 7-1, Hillel Bridget 7-1, Ardhumi and Ice Age 10-1, Intasab and Rattling Jewel 10-1, and 11-1 Bar.
We'll stick with you for the tip, Sam.
Yeah, so I actually had one picked out for this, and it was Rattling Jewel. I actually tipped him up 2 weeks ago for Nace for a handicap there. He was a bit unlucky not to win, and he's just gone up the £1. He was fifth in this race last year, off £14 higher, and was only beaten three lengths. And he's in off a racing weight of 8-4, with Alan Pearce taking off £10, claimer. So I think he'll just be running loose, and I think he'll be hard to peg back.
Jolly good. Mark, who's your fancy here?
Yeah, well, I'm going to side with Sam here. We're on the same wavelength once again. I do like Rattling Jewel for the aforementioned reasons, and the weight with Alan Pearce definitely makes it more appealing. But another one maybe just to keep an eye out for, he could be a bit of a tease now, this horse, but Atlas, he travels very strongly all the time, and they're dropping him back here to 6.5. If things were to fall right for him, he's very talented on his day, and Sean Davis takes off 7. He's broken my heart many a time, but I'll give him one more chance.
Kiel's got a strong one for us.
I wouldn't say a strong one, but some of the British raiders are interesting. Ice Age, apart from his Wokingham run, just keeps on improving for Eve Johnson Horton, and you know, a double figure price for a horse that you know just keeps running career best after career best. I think he's got a big chance. And Intisab, I thought he actually, although only third of four last time he won, I thought he ran a perfectly good race. He wants a decent field, decent sized field. British Raiders in this race, there's only been a few runners at the race, but Tony Cork trained the runner-up last year, and Mick Easterby trained the winner the year before, so they can certainly be competitive. And they'd be my two about out the field, but I wouldn't know that much about the Irish ones.
Righty-ho, two other races at the Curragh. First up, the 4:20, it's the Jebel Al Ali Racecourse. No, it's the Jebel Ali Racecourse and Stables Anglesey Stakes, Group 3 over 2 furlongs. I don't think we've got prices, but hopefully we've got some winners. Mark Boylan.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this race. This is probably one of my favourite races the whole weekend, but it doesn't make me think that I have the winner any more strongly. Viadera was absolutely brilliant first time up, and she was green. I'd encourage anyone to watch it back on your Racing Post members, though. It was a super performance, and I think she's a real star filly for the future. But just stepping into Group 3 company straight away from a maiden, particularly when she was green, is a worry for me. Her natural ability could let her get away with it, but it's a worry for me. And I'd be tempted now to go with Just Wonderful, and she was super first time up, but fell into the same trap maybe as Viadera in terms of having to go to the Albany straight away after winning her maiden, when in reality, I know Aidan has said on occasion there that nearly if you lose first time up, you know, not that you're always hoping to win, obviously, but if you lose first time up, it can be a benefit to them to give them another run without having to blood them in group company. She wasn't hard driven in the end when her chance had gone in the Albany. It all just happened too quickly for her, and this is much more of a manageable task. So I'll be going with Just Wonderful here. She showed lots of ability, and it's rare you hear Ryan Moore use the word special after getting one off riding one on a debut, and he used this word to describe her as potentially a bit special. And just a shout out to John Hayden. He runs G Rex here. Went to the sales ring unsold. Didn't reach the reserve at the Ascot sale, in the London sale before Ascot. He ran a cracker to finish 8th in the Coventry, and I spoke to him before it, and you never meet a man more absolutely buzzing to have a runner at Royal Ascot. He was telling me the horse is looking across at Lady Aurelia and hoping they might fall in love together and do something nice, but he said that this fella here, he's just a super, super individual. He wasn't disgraced at all last time when Jamie Spencer was perhaps too far back. I wouldn't be shocked at all to see him running a big race at a big price. G-Rex for John Hayden.
Jolly good, Kills.
One of the best form was obviously Marie's Diamond of Mark Johnson, because he was second to Van Beethoven last time at the Curragh in a Group 2. But he's got the best form in the race because he won 5 times. And, you know, that's, you know, whether anything improves past him. I must admit, I did look at that Viadera race and I thought she looked really, really good. So I would go with that, but without, you know, but there isn't much form to go on.
And Sam, who's your choice?
Yeah, as opposed to Mark, I was actually very disappointed in the way this race cut up. You had Sergei Prokofiev and Fairyland both entered, and it's probably likely that Sergei Prokofiev has skipped this to go to the Phoenix Stakes in a couple of weeks' time. But for me, it's sort of a process of elimination. I sort of fell down on Marie's Diamond. To be honest, I'm very fond of John Hayden, but if G-Rex was by anything else, I definitely have a stab at that. But it's by Requinto, and his highest progeny rating is 106, so that would worry me. He's been a very disappointing sire in general. The question mark over Just Wonderful after the Albany, just wouldn't like that. And yeah, just Marie's Diamond has the best form, so just stick with the form on this one.
Okay, 4:55, the Friarstown Stud Minstrel Stakes. It's a Group 2 for three-year-olds and upwards. 7 furlongs is the trip. Kills, you can go first.
You know, I did have a proper fancy in that scurry, and that was Smash Williams, but unfortunately he's been rerouted here to go up a furlong for this race. I think he's actually been running really, really well, and he does seem to like the cover particularly. I think he'd go well. He does have a little bit to find with Larchmont Lad and Sober Love, but they're both, well, Sober Love is getting on. Larchmont Lad is finding it hard to win. So I might take a chance of Smash Williams. Should be a reasonable price. Obviously, Jim Bolger called an upset with Turret Rocks on Thursday. So the yard seems to be going okay. I would take a chance with him.
And Sam, who are you going to take a chance with?
So again, I'm disappointed with the renewal of this race. Last year, 5 out of 9 runners were rated over 110, whereas this year we've only the 2, which are So Beloved and Larchmont Lad. They opposed each other in a Group 3 at Newmarket recently, where So Beloved won that by length. So Beloved didn't get the clearest runs that day either, so I'd side with him over Larchmont Lad, and I'm just going to go with the class horse, or the proven horse here, rather than improving three-year-olds. But it's interesting to see Brian Moore on St. Patrick's Day. He could also be one.
Okie doke. And what about the boy wonder, Mark?
St. Patrick's Day for me, he's been one we were looking forward to in the comments about him when he had joined Aidan from Bob Baffert as the brother to American Pharaoh. They were very, very positive initially, but I think this horse needs to prove himself upstairs, even as much as on the track. He got very, very bothered in the stalls at Leopardstown and was withdrawn when he was weak in the market, when he was first due to start. We set to go and Ascot was an on-runner, and when he ran the last day at the car, it was a grand run, but he looked like he really, really needed it. And even beforehand, in the preliminaries, he wouldn't have. He's a nice looking individual, but his behaviour, he looks a bit immature still. He'll come on surely, but he'll have to prove it for me now here against a fella like So Beloved, who is really, really battle hardened and has danced every dance. I'm going to side with So Beloved, but I'll give a shout to Mamba Noir down the bottom. I spoke to Ken Condon last year in the lead up to Ascot when Roman Eyes was running in the Coventry and she was running in the Queen Mary, and the impression I got was that the two of them were of a similar sort of a potential ability, and obviously Roman Eyes is going to have to do what he's done, and Mamba Noir needs to go on and prove it this season. But she was some decent form last year in quality juvenile races, and she should have needed the run first time up. She'll improve for that, and she's rated 12 pounds lower than So Beloved, but gets 10 off him here. It's not an impossible task to be banged there. And for Paul's one, Smash Williams, he should have been third last time. If you watch that back, he's got done on the line when Kevin Manning maybe has eased up a little prematurely. But
he got a ban over here for that without a shadow of a doubt.
The only thing, Paul, that I thought that instantly myself, but the camera angles at the car are quite tricky, and it's something maybe if you're watching racing this weekend where if you're in a photo finish, it actually perhaps at the time Art Humey was closer to being ahead than Smash Williams, but it still didn't look well to me. I thought that was a kind of a mistake, funny
wasn't
one.
It? You know,
yeah,
it
I thought so. I thought so, like. Yeah.
Can you imagine going out for a drink with Mark Boylan and David Jennings? You wouldn't be doing a lot of talking, would you?
Nope.
Blimey, O'Reilly. Right, we're back with Newbury tomorrow.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, welcome back. Let's look at 4 TV races at Newbury, starting with the 150, the Bet 365 Stakes, better known as the Stevenson Stakes, featuring a forgotten horse who one day we thought was going to be a superstar, Kills. When Emotionless won the Champagne Stakes at Doncaster all those years ago, do you remember? And we thought he was going to be the absolute king, didn't we? He looked so good. And it hasn't really happened, but he's back, and he's back at the head of the market. How are Paddy Power betting on this one, Sam?
Yeah, so we have Emotionless for Charlie Appleby at 2-1 at the top of the market. Then we have Sparkplug 10-3, Autocratic 9-2, Desert Encounter 9-2, and then 11-1 Bar.
Okay, he's on his way back, Hills. Good second at Maidan.
Yeah, in January, it's a fair while ago. Now, you know, he won that race. He won that Champagne Stakes by 3.5 lengths, and he did look an absolute superstar. It didn't turn out to be the deepest race in the world. I mean, the second Ibn Malik was okay, but you know, and he hasn't reproduced it really since. And he has run a couple of real below par performances as well. He did run well in Maidan. But you're being asked to take 2-1 about a horse that hasn't won since September 2015.
You're going to take him on,
aren't
you?
Well, you got it, wouldn't you? I just think you have to. Like, you know, he might win. He's obviously got the form to win. I don't think he's anywhere near as far clear as the others. He's been gelded. I mean, yeah, when a horse is gelded, you see a horse rated 80 that's gelded, you think, oh, it might improve a bit. You see a horse rated 110, you think, well they know he ain't going to make a stallion. He ain't going to be good enough to make a stallion. You know, so that's what will worry me. How good is he really going to be if they've gelded him? I'm taking him on.
With who?
With Autocratic. Just thought he ran a really good race at Ascot. I'm a little bit surprised that Michael Stout's gone for a tongue-tie anaviser for the first time. But he's definitely got the form to be up there. He wants a mile and 2 furlong on fast ground. I think he's got a big, big chance.
OK, Autocratic for Kills. Who for Mark Boylan?
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing how Immortalist does, but I wouldn't be sold on him just yet. I need him to go and do this now, and if he wins, let him win nicely, but I'd rather take him on with Desert Encounter. They're taking the hood off here. He was very, very poor last time in the Prince of Wales, but he has some classy form in behind, albeit maybe he capitalised on a good opportunity to finish third in Eclipse last year, but you know he ran well at Sandown before when the race pace-wise wouldn't have suited him, but hopefully Emirates Flyer might make it a true gallop here for him and help him do it. He's won a Group 3 around here before over a furlong further as well. I just think he's a classy horse if taken off the hood sparks him again, and David Simcock should be banged there, I think, if Emotionless fails to fire.
Sam Harley, Paddy Power a lot bigger about this fav than some of the others. Does that suggest you, like the other boys, are going to oppose him?
Yeah, I'm going to oppose him with the same as Paul. I'm going to go with Autocratic. He has formed the ties in with First Sitting, and he now receives £3 from First Sitting, having been beaten by him the last day in a listed race, with First Sitting taking the penalty of £3. I just couldn't have Emotionless coming back from Maidan. A lot of the time, those types of horses take a run or two back on the turf, and sort of all the travel over the winter. He's also had a decent break from then to now, and yeah, I'd be keen to take him on with Autocratic.
Okay, gets a lot harder at Newbury now. Big fields, big price favourites, tricky old puzzles, but the boys are here to help. Starting with the 225, the JLT Cup. It's a handicap over 2 miles and there's 18 runners and a familiar set of colours at the top. Tony the Lizard Bloom, who obviously has landed a few touches, including Penn Hill in the Stayers last year, when trained by Willie Mullins, who also trains the favourite here for Tony Bloom. It's Stratum. How short is this one at the moment, Sam?
Yeah, so just a flag, we're paying an extra place on this race, so there'll be 5 places at a fifth of the odds. And we have Stratum 4-1, then followed by Kaloub 11-2, Almagarad 6-1, Amazing Red 7-1, and Cloudgate and Coeur d'Alene 12-1 and 14-1 Bar.
Who wins it then, Sam?
So this is going to be my nap of the weekend. Horse called Almagarad for John Godston. Dan City 3-year-old colt. He put up a really good effort in the Queen's Vase, beaten 7 lengths behind Kew Gardens, who's progressed on to win the Group 1 last weekend in Longchamp. And he's also secured his place at the top of the St. Ledger market. This colt, he's only run 3 times, and so it was sort of a big step up to go to the Queen's Vase at Royal Ascot. And I think we can see him improve again going up and trip. And he's receiving a healthy weight for age allowance here, and he's the one to be for me. And interestingly, he's actually a half-brother to Gruda, who John Gosden also trained.
Excellent. Mark Boylan?
Yeah, I'm going to be patriotic here and go with Willie Mullins and go with Stratum, the ex-Gosden horse. I thought he was the one to take out at Ascot Stakes. He stays strongly, and he didn't get cover, didn't help him settle. He was out wide, but by God, did he fly home. He's been put up 2 for it since, and they've stuck the hood on him now for Willie. That kind of be a statement of intent, I think, and he's drawn a stall 1. Bury him in the pack there and work away there. I think Robert Winston could make hay with him, and I'd be very, very disappointed if he wasn't in the shake-up. He'd be one of my more confident shows this weekend. But Sir Chauvelin, give him a shout each way for Jim Goldie, the man who he trained the stable cat to finish in the first three here, more than likely. He's absolutely flying, and third in the Northumberland Plate, stays strongly. I know he's never won beyond a mile and five in the flat, but he's won over hurdles. The drop in trip and the draw weren't ideal last time in the John Smith's Cup. The goal he won with Eucan Glenn, but he's in seven here. It's easier at Newbury, and I'd be thinking he could hit the frame if things fell right for him, but Stratham I'd be fairly sweet on.
Who'd you like, Kills?
I think this is massively, massively competitive, and you know, nobody's talking about any of the outsiders. It's an interesting one there. The second favourite, Kaloub, has only run once this year, finished fifth. Perfectly good race to amazing red. Obviously been well back, cheek pieces first time. But there's another one with a similar profile that's three times the price that's interesting to me. Mark Johnson had a few in here that didn't get in. Austrian School and Making Miracles, the obvious ones. But he's got Hochfeld, who only ran 8 days ago, first one this year, and finished fourth. And I thought it was a perfectly reasonable fourth. Now, the winner, Hamada, won the race by a mile, but they're talking about running the Melbourne Cup with it, and he was running off a mark of 90-something. Like, you know what I mean? So you can forget that. And then Hochfeld only lost second place, close home. And I thought it was a perfectly, perfectly good run. We've got it on Racing Post ratings as well as he's ever run. He was progressive last year, and I think an each way bet at 16-1. I think you can do a lot worse.
Jolly good. The 3 o'clock at Newbury's, the Bet365 Hackwood Stakes, Group 3, over 6 furlongs, and Equilateral heads the market for Charlie Hills, doesn't he, Sam?
Yeah, so we have Equilateral at 3-1, Projection 7-2, Bacchus 9-2, Invincible Army 6-1, Yafta 9-1, and 10-1 bar.
Bacchus is a bookie's favourite, isn't he, of course, Sam, because he thwarted the Dreamfield gamble, didn't he, in the Wokingham. Do you fancy him to do likewise here, follow up?
Absolutely, he saved our bacon. Originally, when I was looking at this race, I did like him, but then I had a look into Projection on his run in the Diamond Jubilee behind Merchant Navy, and I just think, consistency-wise, he's one of the most consistent performers in this field. He's been in the first 4 or 9 of his 15 starts, and he's quite versatile in terms of running style. It's hard to know what's going to make the pace here. But he's made the running in Group 3 in Newmarket, and he sort of sat midfield in the Diamond Jubilee. So whatever way it's run won't harm his chances. I think Equilateral at the top of the market's far too short, 3-1. I think he's been a bit of a hype horse. There was a lot of talk around him before going to Royal Ascot, and he disappointed in the Commonwealth Cup. And even just the form from the front of that race hasn't worked out that well with Ektidar and Sans O'Malley. So Projection would be the one for me at 7-2.
Kiels, at any point between now and the end of the show, are you going to do one of those grabbing hold of us and saying, this is a horse you've got to back, you've got to smash
no,
up? And
is it this race? It was this
race.
I mean, I think Projection's probably as short as I want to back him at now. I did think at the start of the week he was just an each way bet to nothing, because I don't particularly rate, like Sam said, I don't particularly rate the 3-year-old form. And he's just rock solid. He runs his race every single time, runs to a similar level every single time, and that level is good enough from what we've seen of all the others to win this. So I think he's got a massive, massive chance. Now, I will say it wouldn't surprise me at all if Equilateral was a superstar, and he was supposed to have scoped dirty after Royal Ascot, and he was a drifter on the day there, having been really well backed in earlier in the week. And I was at a Royal Ascot preview, and Michael Hills said that the horse gave him as good a feel as any horse had ever given him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there was plenty
So there's an excuse for the Ascot run.
Yeah, there's an excuse for the Ascot run. He could be the one. I'm not a great fan of the three-year-old specialist sprinters so far this year.
Is there any three-year-old form you do like? Don't like the Stain fillies.
Not massively. I'm telling you now, Without Parole was the most ridiculous price I've ever seen. 13-8 for the Sussex.
Really?
Yeah,
we said that for God.
He was only beating average three-year-olds again, wasn't he? You know what I mean? He's going to go against some older horses. They might not be that good, but I guarantee you, he'll at least be back in Sussex. But anyway, beat the bank.
Beat the bank.
8-1.
Okay.
Perfect. That's a great.
So Projection here. But
anyway,
but you wouldn't be surprised to see.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Equilateral win though.
Okay, and Mark.
Yeah, I think Equilateral is the only one here that has the potential to go in and be a proper quality sprinter here. Obviously they have ability there, but I just think that Equilateral, if he could bounce back to what he had shown before, the way they talk about this horse, as Paul says, you know, they seem to think that he is something very, very different. And if you can excuse the Commonwealth run with the scope, and I'd rather a nicer price to be getting involved, but I do think he's the one to beat. Hey Jonesy is probably a bit of value at his price, but he doesn't have the same talent, more than likely, as Equilateral. But probably if you gave me the choice, I'd rather Equilateral over 5. I think that 6 maybe isn't his best trip, But I still think he's going to be too hard to beat here.
You did give £12 and an 8 length beating to Foxtrot Lady. He's rated 102.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a lot.
Is the form of that race still working out, isn't it? Foxtrot won
since. Yeah, Foxtrot won the
did us a favour the other week.
Didn't he? Didn't she? Yeah.
Right then, you boys are going to have to be very persuasive to get me interested in the 3:35 at Newbury. It's the Weatherby Super Sprint, a million runners that we know next to nothing about. And I really, really have got no intention of having a bet unless you boys are capable of persuading me. Before you make your cases, Sam gives a show of betting.
Yeah, so hopefully the five places might persuade you to get involved here again. So we're doing
I'm wobbling already.
So yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be a bit of a...
Of course I know you are. Spread by, match bets.
So again, yeah, I think it's going to be a bit of a cavalry charge. It's a pity that Signora Cabello's decided to swerve this for a group two in France. Would have been exciting to see her turn up having won the Queen Mary. The one I've sided with was Kinks. Due to the weight he's getting off Tin Hat, he's receiving £4. They're both rated 94, so they're sort of taken on an even level. I'd be keen to take on Little Kim. She's carrying a penalty for winning a listed race in France, having beaten Chelsea Cloisters. But Mick Shannon, he's on fire at the moment. He's had 22-year-old winners this year, and I just think Kinks each way with the five places, you can't go wrong.
Okay, give us a quick blast of betting, Sam.
And we've Little Kim at 9-2 at the front of the market. We've Tin Hat and Kinks at 11-2. Red Balloons 10-1. It's the only way 12-1 and 14-1 bar.
Sorry, Sam. You've come up with some really good cases on the show so far, but I'm still not having a bet. Over to you, Mark.
I don't know if I can do it because I'm struggling to convince myself to get too involved here, Bruce. But I think if you're going to do it, you have to do it at a bit of a price. I think you need your head examined to be feeling very, very pompous about one at a shorter price. I'm going to take two against the field. On the stage is the first one. Ed Walker in form, won nicely on debut at Kempton, beaten in a listed race, bounced back though. An okay start to run at Newmarket. Flashed the tail when it came under a dry, but did go well to a point before fade. I'd imagine that more than likely will improve for that run. But again, you're taking a bit of a chance there. And good tying girl, Richard Fahey, good record in the race. Won first him up at Leicester. Second him up at Leicester and ran all right then in the nice race at Beverly. What's it called? The Hillary Needler. And just I thought it would come on for that as well. Like two horses against the field, you're going to get very big prices about them. And each way sort of poke. I'd probably side with them too, but I'm not going to be losing my mind over this one.
Okie doke. And Keels.
Yeah, well, you can obviously get shocked in any type of race, can't you? But, you know, just because it's a big field doesn't mean it's competitive. Loads of these are going to have no chance whatsoever. Like, you know what I mean? We've got horses with serious pace who are professional enough. And I think that puts it in the favour of Tin Hat or Kinks. And I like Tin Hat. I know he's got a bit to do giving £4 to Kinks, but I just like the way he ran in the against Soldier's Call in the Windsor Castle on what turned out to be the wrong side. He was just up there all the way, just run out of it on that side late on. Think it will be a case of the slightly sharper 5 furlongs will suit down to the ground. I think he's got a massive chance. 6 of the last 9 winners of this were 5-1 or shorter, so you really shouldn't be worried about the market that much. And if there's an outsider, you know, one I liked was Blame Roberta for Robert Cowell, who was third in a novice race, but only just behind a horse that finished close up in one of the two-year races at Royal Ascot. And around about 20-1, Blame Roberta could be a bit of each-way value.
Well done, Kills. You've sold me. Right, 3 more TV races to come.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, Mark Boylan and Paddy Power's Sam Harley. Looking ahead to the rest of the ITV action on Saturday. 2 races at Market Raisin, 1 at Newmarket. We'll start with Market Raisin. And it's the 205. It's the 188 bet. Summer Handicap Hurdle. Sam Harley, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
So we have Fair Mountain at 10-3, Artful Artist 5-1, Hassel 13-2, Mr. Universe 15-2, Cubswin 17-2, and 10-1 bar.
Paul Keeley gives a winner.
Yeah, fascinating this. We got a short price for a fairly short price for Fair Mountains, run 3 times over hurdles, won the last 2 easily. According to our handicapper, Steve Mason, is by some way the worst handicap horse in the race.
Wow.
It's one of those. On basis of form, the handicapper couldn't give it any more. You could argue that he's been really, really unfair, but you could also, wouldn't be at all surprised if it actually turned out to be lenient. You know what I mean? Because it's a horse with listed group class form on the flat, and if it is as good as that. But I mean, you know, for an inexperienced horse running in a big field handicap hurdle with, I think, 8 last time out winners, I'm not getting involved in 130.
This guy can train, though, can't he?
He can certainly train. So can Richard Newland, though, and he's got the second and third favourite. 5 of his last 6 runners have won. He's put Sam Twist and Davis on Artful Artist, who lagged up by 10 lengths of Southern last time, only in a maiden hurdle. He's come from Ireland, and that was his first win in 15 starts over hurdles. I thought he had to be pushed along all the way, like, you know, to win, even though he won by that far. I don't know how much further claims of Hassel. He's won his last 2 starts at Market Raisin, and he won doing handstands last time there in a decent race. He's won a listed handicap hurdle there as well. He's nearly always ridden by Charlie Hammond these days anyway, although Sam has ridden him, so that doesn't bother me. And I just think he's got to go really well. He was 8th. He wasn't beaten that far in the Ascot Stakes that Stratton ran, and that's favourite for the 100 grand newbie. And you know, even though he's a 9-year-old, that was only 2 or 3 pounds off his best ever Racing Post rating on the flat. So I think he's cracking each way back.
I should definitely be backing Hassel. Mark Boylan, who do you fancy?
I'm going to go with the Richard Newland one. I'm going to go with Artful Artist. He was trained by Tony Martin over here, and he gave guys a few palpitations when he's been well back for handicap hurdles, namely at Galway when he was absolutely murdered. He had no looking running and flew home to finish second last year, and he previously won at the festival on the flat. He was 90 on the flat. He was highest 1.16 over hurdles. Now he's up to a career high 1.12 over here, and I agree with Paul. I wasn't overly taken with him, despite the fact he won well last time at Southall, but I thought a better quality race would see him travel better. And you know, you see him in these big handicap hurdles, or I won't say big handicap hurdles, but competitive sort of handicap hurdles over here at his own level, and he's like to be kind of brought through the pack and make his charge through there. I think this will suit him quite well, and I just think that Tony Martin, he's obviously a very shrewd handler, and he's well able to. He scored last night at Leopardstown with one that had been second the night before at Ferryhouse. I'm not saying he isn't capable of doing it whatsoever, but his horses have been a little hit and miss at times through the last couple of seasons, and there is a chance that this fella could still have progression in him that Tony didn't quite get out of him at the time. I could be wrong. He could be as good as he is at 122, but just I think it's worth taking a chance on the good doctor getting a bit more out of him, and Sam Twist and Davis getting the leg up. So Artful Artist for me.
Sam, are you a flat man or a jumps man?
Oh, I'd be flat born and bred, unfortunately. I'd agree with Mark. I'd agree with Mark here on Artful Artist. I was interested in that change of trainer from Tony Martin across to Richard Newland. And as Mark says, his horses have just slightly been off the boil, so there could be a bit of room for improvement here. And I just think in a field where there's not much sticking out to me, he'd be the one for me.
OK. Kills, by the way, is Harry Skelton going to be champion jumps jockey this season?
Probably not, but he will be at some point. I mean, I've had other people used him. You know, he might be.
Amazing the way they don't, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose they're worried that Dan will end up with all the horses because he's getting such a big stable. I mean, he's had more seconds this season than any other trainer has had winners. And he's like, you know, he's on 60, and Dan Skelton's on 65 winners this season already. The next best is something like 29. So, you know, he's absolutely flying. He will be champion trainer within a few years. He just needs to get the quality up.
Absolutely. You know, he's a very impressive guy. I remember going down and spending the morning on the gallops at Paul's when they had all the stars, Corto and Demon and the likes. And Dan was absolutely, he was showing us around, and he was absolutely on the money. Yeah. Such an impressive guy.
Yeah, his strike rate is, I mean, it's 30%, a bit more, I think, this season so far.
So it's going to happen at some point. Okay, the 3.15 is the 1.88 bet, Summer Plate. Handicap Chase over 2.06, and it's a wide open affair, isn't it? We've got 2 Paul Nicholls horses at the top, I think, haven't we, Sam?
We do, yeah. Last year's winner, Alcala, tops the market at 13-2. We've Baghdad Behu, 13-2. And Calais Mad 13-2. We have Vicomte Denoyer 10-1, Too Many Diamonds, More Books, and Some Kind of a King 12-1 and 14-1 bar.
Should be some race this, Mark Boylan. Who wins?
Well, I know Paul Keeley was initially sweet on Calais Mad in the Albert Bartlett. I know the ground went too soft for him in the end, and he came up with that stat with horse in the Albert Bartlett that it was absolutely incredibly brilliant, original stuff to come up with. And the
brilliant
horse
stat. We all got sucked in and all did our brains. Never mind.
But look, I think on a sounder surface, he would have seen
he's
it better.
He's trolling you here, isn't he, Mark?
He is.
Kills bringing this up.
Look, I'm only in admiration for the great man. No, look, I think he's kept good company over fences generally, and you know, it's better ground here. He danced in at Perth in a listed novice hurdle. You know, what he beat there, God only knows. But I think he's capable of making his presence felt off 143. I think he should be very much involved. And again, the ground is the key to this fella. I think you'll get a better performance out of him. He's only six still. You know, you kind of forget he's been around the block, but he's six is all he is. And hopefully there's a little bit more to come from him.
Calip Mad for Mark. Who for Sam?
See, I'm going to go with last year's winner, Alcala. He won the race of just £1 less last year, and he went on to win two more races after that last summer to get up to a rating of 152. He's back down now to 148, and just Paul Nicholls is an absolute master preparing horses for these big Saturday handicaps, and this is a horse that thrives during the summer campaign, so I can see him winning tomorrow and going on to a few bigger targets then at the end of the summer.
Okay, Paul Keeley?
Yeah, I thought Bagad Bihu beat Alcala quite comfortably last time, and even the weight turnaround wouldn't make that much difference. Quite interesting. I mean, obviously Sam is not the Paul Nicholls stable jockey anymore, but he rode Bagad Bihu then, and now Nick Sculford's on him, and Sam's on Alcala, which suggests they probably think Alcala might turn it around, and obviously won the race last year. But I mean, the best horse in the race in terms of handicapping, if he comes back to form, is Shantou Village. He's running off a mark of 139. He went off 7-2 favourite for the Old Round Chase last year of 149. Now, he hasn't run that great too many times, but his eighth two starts ago wasn't that bad, because he was off 146 then. He wasn't beaten a million miles. He made a mistake last time at Cartmel, just at the wrong time. I'd forgive him that. If he comes back to anywhere near his best form, then he's got to go close.
Okay, a lot of very annoying seven-runner fields for each-way betting fans tomorrow. And our last TV race, the 2:45 at Newmarket, also just as the seven, it's the Smarkets Betting Exchange Aphrodite Stakes. A listed race for fillies and mares over a mile and a half. And Luca Kamani has the fav, I believe, Sam.
Yeah, so we have Always and Forever, 9-4 favourite. High Garden 7-2, Melodic Motion 11-2, Etja 11-2, and Dramatic Queen 7-1, and it's 14-1 bar.
Keels, who's going to win this one?
Yeah, I originally thought this was like the least interesting betting race as far as the ITV cameras were concerned, but then I thought to myself, well, hang on a minute, we've got a favourite who's fairly short of 9-4, only rated 95, and there are plenty of horses with, you know, either better form or comparable form. At bigger prices. You've got to take into account that Melodic Motion, for instance, is rated 102. She didn't run at all well on her reappearance. And I came down to, in the end, Dramatic Queen of William Haggis. Now, William Haggis had two or three in this that were much higher rated than her, but he's relying on her. She was fourth to Sea of Class at Newbury on a seasonal debut. She was obviously beaten a fair way, but she's got plenty of improvement, and she'll definitely stay her damn one at Galway over 2 miles. You're looking at the open.
Keep talking
and smiling.
I couldn't resist. Caught a cheeky you. Look at the leaderboard.
You're grinning away.
I'm all ears, Kiel.
Dramatic Queen for me.
I haven't got a clue what Kiel said there. Mark Boyle.
Tommy Fleetwood, well.
Hopefully it was doing all right. I asked him, all the lads here, I said, here, I'll give you a tenner and tell me what to put it on. And he said Fleetwood this morning, so I hope it's going okay.
Yeah, he's joint leader. Right, go on.
This is far from my most confident show of the weekend, but I thought First Time Blinkers might just spark Melodic Motion. She is forming better races than this, and I'd be keen to take on High Garden at that form. That Musadora looks absolute stink to me, to be honest with you. And I really thought that if she get back to a mile and a half, she shaped well over a mile and six last year in the May Hill or something like that, I think it was. Yeah, the Park Hill, sorry, mile and six. And I think she could be with a value at 11-2, but wouldn't be the most confident show of the weekend.
And trained by a genius, King Rafe.
It's the job.
Sam?
Yeah, I'd be with Mark there. I'd forgive her poor reappearance over a mile and six in New York. I think she's back down to her ideal trip of a mile and four. She's by Nathaniel. She's the highest rated horse in the field by £7. She's a testament to her consistency, winning three of her six starts last year and being placed on her other three. She was beaten by Marmello in York, who's since gone on to win the Group 2 pre-Maurice Deniel in Longchamp, and very high up in the Melbourne Cup betting. So I think if you can forgive her last run, She'd be the one at 11-2.
Okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to get the roundups from everyone, all the horses that we in the races that we haven't previewed, which aren't their naps, but which they fancy. Then we'll get the naps, and then we'll look at Sunday at the Curragh. So, Kills, how many in your roundup?
Well, I only had one, but I've forgotten what it is. So, start with someone else. We'll try and look for it.
Mark?
I've just won, and I'm pretty confident here, in the 3-10 at the Curragh, Ice Cold in Alex. He was absolutely poleaxe last time when he was trying to make his challenge. It was one of the messiest races I've seen at the Curragh in an awful long time. He's £4 better off now with Red Avenger, £2 better off with Kaylee. For Ken Condon, down the bottom of the weights, look no further. I think Ice Cold in Alex in the 3-10 at the Curragh.
Fantastic. Kills, he's still flailing around. Sam will go with you.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just in the 6:40 on Saturday at the Curragh, one that took my eye a couple of weeks ago is a horse of Joseph O'Brien's called Winner Takes It All for JP McManus. He's a Nathaniel Gelding. That was over a mile and he was finishing very well. I think Connections actually got called in for an explanation of the ride, but he was very green on debut. I think he's going to improve out of all knowledge for the step up to a mile and four. It looks like it's going to be a smart maiden with the half-brother to Free Eagle turning out for Dermot Wells. He's by Galileo. But I just think the experience of Winner Takes It All will overcome the newcomer.
Anything else you want to tell us about?
Keep talking.
No, come on, Kills. Where is it? Which meeting?
There's a Rafe one that I thought interested on handicap debut at Newbury, 4:45. I just thought the race at Homeopathic, who's likely to be a short post favourite, won, but just wasn't all that good. So I would take a chance with Kaylee's Dream of Rafe Beckett's. She only went off 14-1 for the Sandringham. Finished midfield. She's better than that. She ran a good race. She ran a fair race. She was beaten, not a million miles in the Musadora. Going into a handicap, I think she'll have a shout.
Can I have my phone back, please? Yeah. So my missus just arriving home from a holiday, and I don't want the text coming up saying, "What the state of the house, you bastard." I get all embarrassed. Right, let's get the nap.
This will not be beaten.
Poor old Steve Palmer singing in there. I don't know if you read his stuff in the Racing Post. It took him 13 hours to drive from Weymouth to Carnoustie on Wednesday. And on Wednesday night, he thought he was just had the last little leg to go. And he ended up outside Celtic Park just as the crowd were coming out. He got stuck in traffic.
But just fly and hire a car when he got there.
I know. But do read Steve every day this weekend. He's up at Carnoustie. And that is fantastic. Right then, nap time. Paul Keighley?
I'm going to go for in terms of best handicap horse, Shantou Village in the 3:15 at Market Raisin.
Mark Boylan.
Magic Wand in the Irish Oaks at 5:30.
And Sam Holly, you've been a right star today, so round it off with a winning nap for us.
So I'm going to go for Al Margaret for John Gosden and Sheikh Hamdan in the 2:25 in Newbury on Saturday.
Lovely stuff. Let's have a quick butchers at two Group 2 races taking place on Sunday at the Curragh. The 2:55 is the Sapphire Stakes over 5 furlongs. Mark, have you got the winner for us?
Well, Washington DC keeps taking my money and it's getting upsetting at this stage, but I think this is his form at the Curragh over 5 and 6 furlongs is very, very strong. Battle of Jericho is ridden by Ryan Moore, and that puts the fear of God into me that maybe Everton isn't okay at Washington DC. He was very poor last time in the King's Stand, and Mab's Cross is well in front of him there, has work to do, but Washington DC challenged on the side where the action wasn't taking place, whereas Mab's Cross was better positioned. I'm going to go at Washington DC at a bigger price, but it would be very, very fearful of Mab's Cross.
Who are you going for, Sam?
Yeah, so Frank Hickey's actually very warm on Mab's Cross as well, which is always something to be wary of. But I'm going to go with Mark as well on Washington DC. I think if you forgive his run in the King's Stand last time at Ascot, going back to the run before that, he actually finished second to Batash, and I can see him winning this at the Curragh.
Are you a better judge than Frank Hickey, Sam, would you say?
Absolutely not. No, he has age on me. Age and experience.
Excellent. Well, if you see him, send him my love and tell him if he ever fancies doing a podcast. That'd be nice. I haven't done one with Frank for ages. Not that it hasn't been fantastic having you on today, Sam. Kills, who wins the Sapphire?
I haven't barely even mentioned Caspian Prince. Caspian Prince, if at all. What a horse. What a wonderful horse. Just got beat, just short head off a mark of 114 in a handicap. He's the highest rated horse in the race. Goes off like a bat out of hell. Loves fast ground in the absolute form of his life.
Okay.
What's wrong with him? He'll win, won't he?
Okay, well, let's say we'll. I haven't got my phone, so click onto the 3:30 Kills. It's the Killboy Estate Stakes. It's a Group 2. over a mile and a furlong. We'll stick with you for the winner, Kills.
Oh, a horrible race. September making a reappearance. Belated, but obviously had a million problems. No idea how fit she's going to be. Ryan Moore's on Magical, whose run in France wasn't that bad. I'd guess at Magical. This is a race I definitely won't be having a bet in. Interesting to see how September does.
For a lot of people, of course, the flat season hasn't really kicked off until September comes back. A lot of people have been saying, wake me up when September comes back. That's a Green Day joke, Kills.
Is it? Oh, right, okay. What's Green Day?
I bet producer Adam will be putting the tumbleweed behind that one. 3:30 then at the Curragh. Who wins, Mark?
Yeah, the September is very interesting. I think the whole thing with her coming on for the run, she's off for 261 days, I've written in front of me here. She's a smaller filly. I think she can handle this more so than some of the bigger types from Ballydoyle who need the run more. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything about regards of how ready she'll be. And the fact that Ryan is on Magical is definitely a negative. But Shami gets on well with September, gets a good tune out of her. She could be easier to get fit than other ones from a pure fitness point of view rather than a soundness point of view. But I'm So Fancy keeps surprising this and keeps beating sharp-priced favourites in listed kind of races, that sort of thing. Won at the car last time when was well back, to be fair to her, beating St. Patrick's Day and Allegio. Magical, I think, needs a little bit of cut in the ground, and that's my concern here. This rain will suit her, and if it continued to rain, I'd be on the side of Magical. But September, if the market spoke in her favour, is where I'd be going.
And the last tip on an epic postcast is Sam Harley. Who wins this one, Sam?
Yeah, so from an emotional basis, I'm going to side with September. She'd be a sort of stable favourite of mine from the Aidan O'Brien camp. I'd say this is sort of a prep race for targets later on in the season, such as the Matron Stakes in Leopardstown. Her form from her two-year-old career has worked out really well, finishing second, only beaten a nose by Lawrence in the Fillies Mile at Newmarket at the end of last season. She then went to Del Mar and ran a cracker at the Breeders' Cup. I think she's by far the standout filly in the field, and if she's anything back to her best, she'll be the one to beat.
Great stuff. Thank you, chaps. What's the weekend plans, Mark? What are you up to? Grafting?
I'll be grafting away for the Racing Post at the Curragh. Really looking forward to it, doing the live reporter there on the app tomorrow, and then on Sunday we'll be flat out reporting and all that sort of stuff. So really looking forward to it, and hopefully maybe in the 4:05 Artistic Melody can make things even better as well for Gerard Innes and Colin Keane.
Oh, crammed the last one in there. Well done, Mark. Lovely stuff. Have a great weekend. Isn't
Thank
it great
you.
To hear these young guns loving their work and enjoying doing it? Fantastic. Sam, what are you doing this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to be joining Mark at the Curragh. Thankfully, on a leisurely basis. I only live 5 minutes down the road, so I'll pop down for a few races and then put the feet up and watch the golf.
Is it coming along now, Sam, the Curragh? Is it beginning to look a bit like a race course again?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's going to be flashy, isn't it, when it's finished?
There's some press coverage released yesterday of an interview with Derek McGrath, and you can really sort of see it taking shape now. The facilities are absolutely immaculate, and it'll be great to have a premier racetrack in Ireland again.
Absolutely. And who wins the golf, Sam? Who's carrying your money?
So going into it, I liked Molinari.
Well, he's going okay.
His form's been going well the last 2 weeks, so I had a small bet on him. He was -3 and tipping along when I last saw him.
Lovely stuff. And someone else who's looking forward to spending all Sunday sitting there watching the golf is Paul Keighley. But then what happened, Kills?
I ridiculously passed my rotor responsibilities on to somebody else, and they bloody put me down to be the live tipster. So not only that, I've got to have the racing on all day long. All right? And you know, I love racing, but it ain't grey racing, and I love the open.
Perhaps you could do a sort of split blog. You could tip on the racing and the golf. Fancy that? You used to do a bit of golf tipping in your day, didn't
golf
you?
Tipping, yeah, but I'd be hopeless at it. I wasn't very good at it when I did it.
Who do you want to win the open?
Then? Ricky Fowler's who I backed. I just thought it'd be a free each way at 10 places. There'll be no drink going on. I went and had one of them NHS free health checks the other day.
Oh, apparently, did you?
Yeah, it came out. I've got a 20% chance of having a heart attack within the next 10 years.
Have you?
Yeah, they weren't very impressed when I said, well, that means I'm 1-4, not 2.
No. I had one of them the other day, and I had 9.9%. It's a heart attack or a stroke, isn't it?
Heart attack or stroke, yeah, 20%.
Yeah, 20%. Yeah. What are you going to do? How are you going to curtail your lifetime?
They referred me to the doctor. I don't know. Drink less, smoke less. Don't know.
Back to us, Jamie Spencer horses to try and watch them coming through the field at Ascot.
Yeah. Not a bad shout. I'm working tomorrow as well, Kills?
No, I'm off tomorrow. I am just going to sit in front of us early and watch the film.
And eat Rye Vita and drink
Cucumber
Rye
Vita?
Oh,
smothered.
20%, mate.
Yeah, well, smothered butter goes all in the little.
No, holes, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Live healthily, kills. Have a lovely weekend, folks. Let's hope the boys bring you wealth and you enjoy good health as well. Back on Monday, Maddie and the gang looking back on this fascinating weekend and looking ahead to the King George.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.